Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. We're back in the house, man. I'm telling you. Yeah, buddy. We are back. I'm telling you, man. First, hope every father had a nice weekend and you had, you know, you spent time with your kids, or your kids spent time with you, however you do it. And for the mothers that, you know, wear both hats, you know, I hope you had a wonderful weekend as well, because, you know, the good book says honor that mother and that father. You know, some individuals, you know, they like to, you know, say, well, this is a pagan this and this is a pagan that. Well, you know what? If it's such a pagan, you know, whatever. It says honor your mother and father that your days may, their days may be long. So, hey, I'm going to say happy Father's Day and happy Father / Mother's Day to everybody else out there, you know, that, you know, help you take care of your life the way, you know, it really is. So anyway, so I hope everybody, because I know mine was outstanding. That's why I wasn't here Friday, man. Now, I won't apologize for our show Friday not being on air, even though it was scheduled. we'll see if we can't work some of those in, man. We'll see. Man, I tell you, I forgot what I was thinking. Oh, yeah, you know, mine was outstanding. But we had a case of miscommunication Friday. That's why we went on the air, and I do apologize for that too. You know, everybody that tuned in looking for a show, and there was not any. There wasn't a show. So, you know, my bad. You know, as the host, I'm going to put my bad. I did it. My fault. All right, so I just wanted to say that. Also, you know, I made a statement last Wednesday or Thursday, I think. We were having a discussion, and I made a statement that, you know, while I was in the military deployed into certain areas of the world, you know, I was I got paid. Well, let me I guess expound on that, or explain it a little bit further. Okay. Now, thanks to a very, very good friend, you know, and you know what? It's always good to have a friend that will call you and pull your coattail on some things, you know, because sometimes we say things and although personally we are aware of what the intentions of the comment was, we sometimes assume that everybody else has an understanding of what you were you were trying to get across. Well, that's not all the case. And you need it. I have always said that you need a good friend. Somebody, I used to say, you need a no man, you know, a no man. Or someone who's not afraid to tell you, no, that's not right. Or, you know, maybe you need to break that down a little bit further because it didn't come out right. And, you know, some people may hold that against you. So, you know, I think I would explain a little bit more. So basically what I meant by that was, you know, a lot of us in the military, we were aware of the propaganda or the lies that we were being used to spray it. Okay, now, being that we were being used ourselves, you know, it came down to this, and this is simple. You know, we said, okay, we have to be here, okay, but we were receiving extra pay. They call it combat pay, okay? So with that being said, why not go keep going? I mean, we know it really wasn't weapons of mass destruction or anything like that going on. So why not go and earn this extra money, put it away, so my family back here in the States would be taken care of along with my kids. So once all these conflicts is over, I'm through or I'm out and retire, I have some money saved up. I have some money saved up to move on with the rest of my life. So that is what was meant by I got paid. I didn't mean to say only reason I went over there was for just to get paid. And I was not, well, I really can't say I wasn't a mercenary because we kind of were mercenaries. So in a roundabout, back through the back door type of way. But but the bottom line was, you know, we went over there to do and handle our business, and we, you know, we helped our families out along the way. So that's what that was meant by I got paid, okay? And, you know, let's be honest, you know, a lot of us were aware that what was going on because the same, a lot of the same individuals that ended up in Iraqi freedom, a lot of us went to the Gulf War. And then the little, how can I say, unmentioned deployments in between, you know. So, you know, we knew a lot of stuff that a lot of people didn't know. But the bottom line was, you know, we were just thinking about our families back home. All right. So now that I have that all out of the way, I hope everybody has a better understanding at what I was trying to say, you know, to get across when I made that statement that I got paid. All right. Now that that is over with and I have explained all that, I feel so much better. And thank you. Thank you, my dear friend, my dear sister Ngoni, for, you know, bringing that to my attention. All right. So here it is, y'all. It's Monday, Mad Monday, and, you know, it's another week. We're blessed to be here. Well, another start of another week anyway. All right, so if you want to be a part of the show today, you got something you want to talk about, I already know my co-host does. So, you know, between me and him, I think we got this all going on. So here it is. You want to be a part of the show, there's a few ways you can do that. First, you can give us a call, 347-838-8622, and that'll put you on the switchboard where you can listen live also. And if you want to participate and actually comment, only thing you have to do is press the number 1, and that'll put you in the queue, and we'll let you in, and so we can hear you actually make your own personal comment on whatever topic we're discussing at that time. Okay? Also, we have our chat room, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. All right. Now, when you can sign in, when you log into the, well, when you go to the website, and it's going to bring you directly to the show, the chat room. Now, if you just come in as a guest, only thing you'll be able to do is read what everyone else is posting in the chat room. However, if you sign in using whatever social media site that you use, you know, with a username, then that'll place you in the chat room, and you'll be able to post comments and respond to comments in the chat room also. So just want to let you know that. And there's another way. Just send me an email, ericletstalk@gmail.com, and you can send the email to me. And if you want me to, let me know you want me to read it on air, and I got you. Read it on air. So those are all the ways you can participate in the show today. And, man, I'm looking forward to hearing every last one of you, you know, because we welcome everyone to the show. And only requirements we have is when you call in, act like an adult and speak as an adult. You know, we don't have any derogatory terms and, you know, the B's and the H's and the MF's, and we don't do that here on this show, okay? And let other people talk when they're speaking. You know, you would like that respect, so we ask that you give that respect in return also. And, I mean, basically, that's it. Other than that, man, we call, we'll talk about any topic you want to, especially today. It's Monday, man. And you know, there's a lot of people have a lot of going on, you know, so... Oh, I'm ready. I'm hot and heated. Now, let's see. Another thing, we got to give our shout outs out first, you know, to those that have arrived in the chat room already. Okay, we got my chat room coordinator, Antoinette, in the house. Of course, we got my co-host, Akeem, in the house. Then we got Deep H2O. And then you got Divine Design. And then we got my sister Ngoni in there as, Gnosis Cordia. I think I said that right. Then we got guests 1027, 1038, and 1043. So we got you. We got you. Welcome to the show, y'all. And for those that, you know, listen on your other devices that, you know, just don't register where I'm looking at, welcome to the show also. And I hope y'all enjoying it. And of course, you know, we have my co-host Akeem in the air. I'm gonna bring him in a minute. Then we got 111. That could be three or four different people, but we'll get to them anyway. And then we also got my other half, Mrs. Talk, on the line also listening in. So welcome everybody to the show. I'm glad y'all made it, because I am happy. Now, I know y'all haven't heard me since, what, Thursday, but y'all haven't heard this young man since Wednesday. You know, he had some graduations to go to, and I know he had a great time. So let me bring my co-host in, Akeem, a.k.a. Cloud Nation Radio. What's up, brother? How you doing today?
Oh, man, I'm feeling very, very good. A few graduations out the way, beautiful weather. And, yes, the Spurs did win, so I'm excited. Moment of silence for the Miami Heat bandwagon.
You know, look, I'm going to be honest with you. Screw that moment of silence. You know what? Because on my Facebook page, man, that's all I used to see. You know, Heat. Now they done lost. I don't hear like they all deleted their Facebook account or something. You know what I mean?
Crickets, right?
And you know what don't happen? I'm gonna tell you exactly what happened in that real fast, and we're gonna cover it real quick. The big three met a team, all 13 individuals on the team, and that goes to show, three can't be the whole bunch if you work together, and that's all that happens. You know, they get tired. That's my opinion.
Exactly.
Hey, they get what they get. All right, so there. Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh boy. So how was your weekend, man? You had a good one?
Oh man, it was good. I got a chance to watch my sister graduated from high school at the Chicago Lab School at the University of Chicago. So that was exciting. Their graduation looked like a wedding. They had a reception and a band playing. I mean, it was amazing.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's what happens when one of your original founders and financial contributors is a Rockefeller, you know, a school can do that. you know, so what can I say?
Hey, what can you say? The cash is there, man. The cash is there, and that's what they do, right?
Exactly.
Wow.
So I enjoyed the free food.
Oh, man. Was it good?
Oh, man. It was next to celestial. That's the best way to put it.
All righty, man. Wow. All right. Well, I had some good food also this weekend. It was the bomb, diggity, diggity, diggity bomb. Ms. Talk put it out there, laid it down for me. I was good and full by the time I got finished. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, so that's always a good thing. All right, y'all. Well, you know, it's Monday. We 15 minutes in. And some of y'all still look like y'all dragging. Sound like some of y'all dragging. I bet some of y'all dragging. So I got something that's going to wake you up a little bit. You know, something, just a little something. It's not too bad. It's not too slow. But there's a message to the song. And it is a classic. I think it's a classic anyway. I don't know about y'all. But anyway, I'm not going to talk too much longer. Let me go on and get this song rolling here for y'all. And we'll see y'all in about 5 minutes and 52 seconds. Well, all right. So without further ado, y'all, here it is, your Monday song of the day for Monday. Mad Monday, here they are, the Elements of the Universe.
you hear me? Rona, won't you hear me? Rona, won't you hear me?
Man, I tell you, you can't beat that right there, man. You can't beat that right there for a Monday. Huh? Boy, I tell you, them elements, I don't care how old they get, man, them elements always sound good. That's right, that's right, that's right. That was Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's the way of the world. Man, but did you hear the wording in that song, huh? A child is born with a heart of gold. But did y'all hear that, huh? Huh? And you know what the world did to it, right? You know what the world did to it. Destroyed it. Made it hard and cold. Woo-hoo! Ah, man, I'm telling you. You know, that's one thing about the old school music, man. You always have that message in there, and it's very relatable. I don't care whatever period you grew up with or when you first heard it, when it ever comes back on, it's always relatable to the times. And that's when you know music is just timeless, you know, and it gives you that good feeling, but it gives you that positive message at the same time. Man, I'm telling you, I done got hype now. I'm good. I am good. Now, brother, don't you hear me now? Don't you hear me now? Okay, let me stop. I'm about to get my cameo on then, too. All right, so anyway, let me bring my co-host there right here. Yeah, I know he got something to say about the old timeless music. Oh, boy, what you think about that song, the song of the day, man? Way to start a month?
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing like Earth, Wind, and Fire to, it's like a soundtrack to life. I mean, you think of picnics and a variety of different types of celebrations. Whenever I think of, Earth, Wind, and Fire, not only because of the lyrical content and the fact that it is of substance, but the music has a groove to it. And, you know, it's pure musicianship, live instruments, and I'm sure that there are countless albums out there and records out there that have sampled from Earth, Wind, and Fire music, or even emulated them growing up, different musicians who have reached certain levels of acclaim and prestige and have definitely tried to follow those trailblazers. I don't think there will ever be a band quite like Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Well, you have a point, and you have to remember also, you know, back in those days, man, it was about the brass sections and, you know, the vocals and all that coming together just to make that one, that sound that, you know, just couldn't be imitated whatsoever, you know, so, yes, sir, you know, and the thing about it, they still kicking, man, you know, they find little pieces to plug in here and there, but they still kicking and still sounding good, so, yes, the Fifth Dimension was a good one also, with, what's the name, Billy Davis and Marilyn McCoo. I remember those two names, and I forgot the big guy name, but yeah, the Fifth Dimension was the bomb too. All right, so I'm telling on myself now. Let me stop. Anyway, so, oh man, once again, this is Mad Monday, and the topic is open conversation, basically. And if you want to be a part, 347-838-8622. All right, so, you know, my co-host, you know, he has something he want to start out with, and I got something I want to start out with, so I flipped the coin and I won. I know that's so bad, ain't it? All right, mine's simple though, man, and I just have to put this out there real quick. What in the world is going on in that place that we spent almost 10 years at called Iraq? Now, you know, as I mentioned last week, it is very, very asinine to have thought or funk or however you want to say it, that once we decided to get boots off the ground in Iraq, that what is actually going on now was not going to happen. It was going on before we went over there. We were there. Now they were gone, of course. Now, this group of individuals, as they call them, terrorists or what have you, they have, you know, they're supposed to be outcasts from Al-Qaeda, you know, and it's just amazing, you know. But here's the part that really has me laughing, and as my sister in chat room said, it's strictly business, and hopefully others are beginning to realize how much of a business deal this thing is, because all last year and a few months into this year, only thing we heard about Iran was a hold up for terrorists. You know, they're trying to build nuclear weapons. Well, why did our Secretary of State, John Kerry, say the administration is open to talking with Iran in hoping, or if possible, that the United States and Iran can rid Iraq of these militants? Now, does anyone else see anything wrong with this besides myself? You know, last year we were just down, you know, talking about putting sanctions on them. Now we open to talking to them to actually bring their military in to have military assistance, of course, with our airstrikes, you know, to help slow down this insurgent upheaval. Now, of course, they want Iran to make some kind of assurance that once it is over with, they would go back and nobody would go ahead and, you know, Iran would not go ahead and try and do anything further militarily. Were we just born yesterday or what? Were we just born? And here's another thing. We're going to go around here, strike, do some airstrikes, tear up buildings, tear up whatever. And who you think going to have to go over there and rebuild it? Ching, ching. Somebody's making money and somebody's administration. If y'all don't see it, I'm telling you. Now, of course, the president say, no boots on the ground. Well, guess what, y'all? There's already boots on ground, because some of those boots that were there originally, they never left. In fact, they're sending some additional Marines and soldiers to to add security to the embassy. So, you know, technically, if you want to say there are no boots on the ground, okay, we can go by that, no combat troops. But there's boots on the ground, and trust me, they're not just over there just to keep security. I'm just going to put it on out there. And if we're so willing to talk with Iran, now how do you think that's going to make our other allies feel? You know? I mean, Israel, France, you know? And, okay, and here's another thing. Where is NATO? That's that word that always seems to come in, but they're never around when they need to be. That's all I'm saying. You know, sometimes you just need to look beyond what they're showing you. Yeah, that's all you do, because this is crazy. This is crazy. You know, what is Iran going to do? Really, what is Iran going to do? You know, look, we trained. Here's another very, very interesting point. We trained the United States military, supposedly trained the Iraqi army to be able to withstand and hold this. Oh, but my mistake again. We got rid of the regular army that they had, and we recruited new individuals. And just like they did in the Gulf War, just like they did in Iraqi Freedom, when the heat, when bullets started going downrange, what you think they did? They dropped their weapons, they took off their uniforms, and they rolled out. That is how a lot of these places are being overrun, because the Iraqi military, they're not trying to stay there. Because once again, you have this thing at family first, family fighting family. Well, some of these people are related to each other. People don't want to realize it because that's not what you're going to get told. You know, yes, they showing all these great pictures all of a sudden of executions, and then you got Lindsey Graham on TV saying this. Then, of course, you got John McCain, you know, who's saying, no, we shouldn't do it. Lindsey Graham say, well, we may need to. Sound like money is being spread out somewhere, and somebody's going to get paid. And you know who's going to pay for it all? The people that's around here talking about, I'm an American citizen. Okay, let's see. Let's see. I'm just putting it out there like it is, y'all. You know, you don't have to believe me. Just keep watching. Just keep watching and see. Because it's going to happen. Well, it's not going to happen. It's happening now right in front of you. It is. But, hey, that's just my opinion from what I see and what I know a little of. And, you know, it's there. Hakeem, before I bring Mr. Beasley in, you got something to add to it, Mike?
Not much. I mean, you know, it is the imperial / military complex. So, you know, business is booming, literally. And, yeah, you know, it's just more of the same. You know, more of the same tactics to land grab and strip away resources and basically create the type of subsidies and different tax benefits and things of that nature leverage fill the pockets of those who benefit, you know, the contractors and the corporations who have stake and stock in a variety of different companies that benefit from war.
All righty then. And you know what else is interesting too? You have the World Cup going on right now. The World Cup. Now, where all these countries come together to play the real football, as they say. You know, where's the peace if you got, I don't know. I'm just running out of words right now because it is just really, it's just really ugly, man. You know, deceitful. That's the word I'm looking for because it's very deceitful. It really is. Now, you know, if you really want to look at it, how, if these individuals are marching or moving so swiftly, why are we, so-called, the world's police, taking our time in providing airstrikes? You know, why? Why are we? We done moved a carrier in, you know, with Tomahawk missiles and all that, and we done moved another ship in that has the vehicles, that landing vehicles. But yet we hesitating. I wonder why. I wonder why. But, you know, it's all good. It's all good. Listen like this. Keep your eyes open. Watch. You're going to see something go on right now that you probably never see again in your lifetime. And when it does, it's going to slap you inside your face. And it's going to show you just what a farce all this nonsense is that they try and make you believe. Because we're going to another, they're going to try to do this fear factor thing again. Watch. Eventually, they're going to start speaking about another 9/11 happening right here in the United States. And, I mean, it's a lot going on. But let me, before I bring Beasley in, I see you, B. I know you probably chomping at the bit. Now, I'm going to bring you in so you can get this off your mind real fast. Because I got one more thing, then I'm going to let Hakeem bring up some of the topics he wants to discuss today. All right, so hold on. Let me bring Mr. Beasley in. Mr. Beasley, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon, Mr. Top, Hakeem.
Hey, Beasley.
Listeners, friends, haters, all of the above. Welcome. It's Mr. Beasley here on Monday. This story's got my attention. I think ultimately what Akeem's saying is right. Ultimately, it leads to that, the enriching of the military-industrial complex. But, I think it comes down to the adage that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the United States under the Bush administration bears the responsibility for what's happening now. Because when you destabilize an area like that, and I don't know, I don't know if the neocons had researched it further, if they were aware that there was the possibility of sectarian violence between the Shiites and the Sunnis. This group are Sunnis. Iran are Shiites. Shiites are the minority. There's only like 10% Shiites and 90% Sunnis in the Muslim world. And we'll see how it plays out. But I think the administration is concerned about getting back into a prolonged war, particularly when the elections are coming up in November, the midterm elections, which are important. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see how it plays out. But this area has been fought over, I mean, for a long, long time. But you know, particularly over the past 25 years with U.S. troop involvement, and it's a interesting development. Did you know that the embassy over there in Baghdad cost $750 million to build?
Yeah, guess who built it?
The United States built it. I did.
Yeah.
I did. You did.
Mm-hmm.
With our tax dollars. A $750 million embassy with six-lane Olympic pools, grand dining rooms. I can't see the United – it almost is like Vietnam all over again. The United States started to pull out of Vietnam, and it went down quickly. I've got more, but that's basically what I wanted to say.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, and you brought up a good point. The Sunnis and the Shiites and the Kurds, you know, these individuals, this is nothing new. They've been fighting for years. I mean, over this same territory. Man, you know, they were doing it before we went in. You know, like I say, they did a little while. Then, you know, so it
under Saddam, they weren't doing it.
Well, yeah, well, because he go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, strong dictators have an iron fist, and they stop all the shenanigans. If you look at Yugoslavia, when Marshal Tito was in charge, the tensions between the people in the Serbians and the people in Bosnia-Herzegovina didn't go on because the military government is in charge. The military government goes down, Yugoslavia divides up into, you know, three or four or five different countries, and they start killing each other. I mean, a strong, in order to keep the peace, even though it's not, you know, it doesn't look out for people's human rights, a strong leader, a strong dictator, sometimes keeps the peace. It happens the same way in the streets. It's the way humans work. When there's a strong power in force, it stops people from going at each other's throats.
Well, I've said that, and I know a few of my military colleagues have said it also. Them people were happy before we got there. We just made it worse. So,
But we'll see how it turns out, and it seems like a shame all the effort and lives and money that's gone into, you know, securing the United States' interests there. Can all go up in smoke like this? I'm also concerned. They say if those oil fields are taken over, and that's got to be part of what it's about. That you could look for your gas to shoot up $1.50, $2 a gallon overnight. And it's high enough as it is, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, you know, that's the bull crap they want you to believe, you know. And once again, you know, that's all about making that dollar. Another ploy. That's all it is, man. Another ploy.
Yeah, it's a ploy, but the markets will react to that. Iran still has the third or the fourth largest reserves in the world. I don't know how much production is coming out of there, but it's important. Important.
Well, I mean, but really, how much of it do we really use?
Well, the price of oil is determined on the world market, and it doesn't matter how much we use exactly what's coming from Iraq, but it affects the price of oil, which in turn affects the price of gasoline. and even a small constriction of the supply is gonna upset the supply demand balance, and the markets react to that, and they'll shoot up. You'll see. They're going to do something to stop this from going further. I can't see the powers that be allowing this to happen unless it's part of their bigger grand scheme. It might be setting up for another war. They might let it get to the point where these Islamists, as they're calling them, take over, where they take over and it creates another war. Or also, think about it. It might be a good way to set up the Iranians, who's really not a friend, to fight another enemy. What's better than having two enemies fight? Who knows?
Okay, now that is a grand design that I don't think anybody's looking for. But you know what? You bring up a good point, though. So who would be the other enemy?
Well, Iran's an enemy, and Iran's considered an enemy.
Right.
You know, maybe an enemy where they're trying to thaw some of the tension. And these people coming over from Syria, this ISIS group, is considered an enemy as well. What would be better than letting them fight and get into a prolonged battle and take each other and weaken each other? Think about it. I haven't watched any of the cable news on this stuff. These are just some thoughts.
I understand what you're saying. However, I don't see where there's money in it for the United States if that happens.
Well,
because, you know, the United States is not getting involved in anything unless there's some fund money and greenbacks in it from somewhere. You know, and I don't see if those two hooking up, you know, the prize with them two, besides killing each other. You're right.
Just having two groups go at each other that are not in line with the United States corporate interests. I mean, it's a thought.
Okay. But there will be
anything's possible. There's too many factors in here. Anything's possible.
I was about to say yeah, but they would be going at it in a area that the United States has a lot of interest in right now. So yeah, I don't know, Beasley. But that's a good point, though. I never thought about that one, that particular scenario. But that would be an interesting one to really watch.
I didn't think about it either. It just popped in my head.
But see, you have to wonder, though, if you get Iran involved, right? Now, what's Russia going to do? Even though Russia has their own problems with Crimea right now. And then in the case, what is China going to do?
Stand down and watch them fight.
Okay.
Maybe pick a side and apply some arms and some money. This is a whole new situation. This is a whole new situation, different dynamics.
Yeah, you know, but I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, the only thing that stays the same is that there's always going to be change.
Well, yeah, that is true too.
So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. But it seems a shame that so much has gone into establishing a presence there that it can disappear so quickly after so much sacrifice, lives, money. I mean, you were over there 16 times. That's beyond incredible and amazing, and overworked and underpaid. We'll see how it turns out. And then again, I wonder, you know, this is what we're seeing with the news reports. What's really going on behind the scenes? What's really making all this happen?
See, and that is what that is what they really don't want you to know. You know, it's becoming one of those scenarios again where, all right, we got this big old conflict going over here. Y'all keep watching this. We want y'all to watch this. But somewhere else, something else is going on that's more important that they don't want the normal Joe to know about. So they'll just keep your attention on that until, you know, whenever they tired of it. That's just my opinion. But okay. All right. Well, we'll keep on it. And, you know, as it progresses, we'll let y'all know. If it don't do anything, oh, well. If they kill each other, we'll know. We won't really know, but we'll know. We know. All right. Now, one more thing. All right, Beasley, what you got going on? That noise is killer. But here's another thing.
I'm on mute.
You're on mute? Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, y'all. Our great administration, your illustrious president of these United States of America, has his administration drafting, y'all know I'm finna make somebody mad with this one. I really am. He has his administration is drafting an executive order on LGBT job discrimination. Okay. Let me say that again. On LGBT job discrimination. And this draft would ban workplace discrimination against lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender employees of federal contractors. Now, here's my question. And maybe I'm looking at this thing wrong, but don't we already have discrimination laws in place? Don't we? No, I think we have them against race. We have them against sex. We have them against creed, religion. I mean, don't we? And if that's the case, why does LGBT need a specific discrimination law? Somebody help me, because I think this is just crazy. You know, and once again, it goes to show that we're moving as a country. We're moving in the wrong direction. You know, it's once again being forced on us, thrown on us. Why are we making new laws when we already have them? Now, they want to do something about it. There are some laws that they could redo. You know, but really? Why do they need a job discrimination law? If you go to work dressed like a normal person, you shouldn't have any problems. Oh, I forgot. We're a nation of flaunters. You know, we have to let our individuality show. Well, if it's not meant to be in a workplace, don't do it. Really? Okay, well, in that case, you know what they need to do? They need to make a job discrimination law for those who wear their pants sagging. They need to make a job discrimination law against those who have tattoos all around their necks. You know, I mean, let's do it right if we're going to do it. Am I just looking at this the wrong way? I don't think so. I really don't. Because I really feel like there's no need for a separate discrimination law. Just because they decide to live an alternative lifestyle, You know, that is just crazy. But once again, that goes to show that the lobbyists are so strong for the LGBT now that they are, y'all going to laugh at me when I say this, they are the majority right now. They are the ones that can get anything done they set their sights on. It is. They are. Nobody's trying to stop them. Everybody's just rolling over and accepting it.
Renee's trying to stop them.
Well, and Renee should, and would more than just Renee. I mean, come on, Beasley. Why are we trying to get another discrimination law in place when we haven't the ones to cover that already?
I don't see any problem with this.
Well, you don't?
Those people need to be protected under the law, just like everyone else.
Why? What's so different? What's so different besides who they sleep with? What's so different about them?
Well, maybe they're discriminated against. Maybe the law needs to be further defined.
Nope, they're men and women, right? What of all kinds of different backgrounds, religions? Don't we have laws already in place for that?
Look, if I had to interview somebody, Mr. Talk, and it was obviously a man with a large Adam's apple and a 5 o'clock shadow, maybe some whiskers and some big hands, and he was dressed up like in a dress, no matter how well-spoken and presented himself to me as a woman, and no matter how open-minded I'd like to be, I'd probably not hire the person.
Well, you know what, Beasley, and that's your right, and I wouldn't blame you. Because if you want to...
If I'm doing that only because of his appearance and not based on his qualifications for the job, then I'm discriminating against this person. And I know that might be a little bit of a reach, but I don't see how protecting these people's rights on the workplace really harms any of us. I don't see it.
Okay, you don't see it. Okay. All right. You don't see it. Okay. You know what? I let me go. Uh-oh. What happened? All right. Let me bring Renee in. And then. Hello, Miss Renee. How you doing today?
I'm okay. I'm sick today, but.
Oh.
I got like a little virus or something. But, we already know what it's about. We know the deal. We know that. If people want to admit it or not, because, everyone already knows that this is an agenda, quote-unquote, this is being pushed. I don't see why the hell gay people need to have any special rights. I don't see why they need any special rights, any special laws, any special bills being passed. I don't understand that. That is your own sexual proclivities. That's personal. But see, they want to play both sides of the fence. That's what I don't like. It's because gay people will constantly talk about, it's what we do in our bedroom, and it's our business, what people do. And privacy and all this kind of stuff. They love to say that. Or when you speak to them about, what they really do, or about the disease and all that kind of stuff, they want to take it so personal. But yet, they want to put all of this out there, all of these laws and protests and do all of this stuff. You're putting your own business in the street. That's what you're doing. But you don't want anyone to call you out on it or scrutinize you about it. But you want to have all these dumb extra special laws. And it doesn't work like that. If you're running around here protesting, trying to get these laws and stuff passed on society as a whole, then I feel like we have the right to scrutinize the behavior to scrutinize what it's actually doing to society. It can't, you can't have it both ways.
Thank you. And I agree 100%. I agree with you. And that's exactly what's going on right now. But hold on, let me bring Mr. Uh-oh, he dropped off. Okay, I guess he'll be back when he be back. But you are absolutely right. You know,
I mean, it's just disgusting. And I mean, of course, you know, y'all know about me, but it's like I think more people are starting to see it in a minute, but. It's like I think what people don't really, really, really realize is this is actually way more gone. Like, it's already gone. It's more gone than people actually know because people are not choosing to pay attention to it. You know, we've got all these distractions being thrown in the way,
mm-hmm.
so people don't really realize. This younger generation of black young people, they are going to be the majority, they're majority going to be bisexual. I'm just letting people know now. I'm just telling you, people, you can believe it or not. But
and you're basing in the future.
I'm basing this.
Let me ask my question. You're basing your prediction of the future on your fears, or do you have some real, or do you have a crystal ball and you really know what's going to happen in the future?
I'm telling you what's going to happen straight
because,
up and down.
No, and how do you? Let me ask
I've
you.
I've come to that conclusion.
From
everything that I have seen and researched and found out about, it goes deep. And whether or not, I mean, you can say what you want about fear, and I was just bull.
I'm not saying anything. I was trying to ask a question.
Well, yes, it's going to happen.
And my question is based more on how do you have the ability, when I don't think anyone has, to look into the future and know what the future holds.
Yes, you do. It's called being observant. It's called paying attention. It's called putting 1 + 1 = 2. That's what it's called. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, there's going to be a hurricane on this date or whatever. But the fact, the writing is on the wall. It's a very easy conclusion to come to if you are cognizant of what's happening. If you are not cognizant, then you will think, I'm just talking, you will think it's not that deep. So it's not hard to figure out. You know, I think it's the older generation, you know, I think they don't know. They really don't know. They really don't have an idea.
What do you mean exactly when you say older generation? Older than what age?
I would say over 45.
And the 40, older
45.
People over 45 don't
mm-hmm.
what don't they understand that you understand? I don't know how old you are. I'm assuming
well,
you're in your late 30s.
I'm 30 years old.
You're 30 years old?
Yes.
Oh, you're just a little baby. But go ahead.
Anyway,
let me hear what you're saying.
Okay. Anyway, people over 45 because the time was different. You know, the time was different when you came up, and there was more of an emphasis on family, more of an emphasis on distinct categories of men and women. That's not so anymore. And because a lot of people over 45, you know, they are, of course, you know, tech savvy and all that, but they're not as in touch with what the youth are doing. You're just not, as you get older, I'm not going to sit here and say I know what the preteens are doing in and out, you know, every little thing about it, because I'm not a preteen, you know, because I'm older than that. I can't say everything they're doing. But the older you get,
the more I think, in my opinion, you kind of lose track of what's really happening, all the trends and
there's some truth to that. There's some truth to that. As people get older, they get a little bit more out of touch. I don't think I'm one of those people because I make an effort to try to understand what's going on with people, younger and older. I mean, I follow people Twitter pages that are younger than me. I'm kind of hip to what's going on with folks, and as far as their music. And what they're doing, and in the different regions of the country. So, you know, I'm a little bit more aware than most. Maybe that's why. And your statement is probably true for most. I don't know if it fits for me, but I still think it's faulty that you think you know how the future's going to turn out.
Well,
that you see some things that are happening.
It's
and
very simple.
That you don't. Let me just finish my sentence. I'll be brief. That you have the gift from looking at what's happening, and you know for certain that. And I think your conclusion was that that most black male and females are going to be bisexual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now,
what I'll say
on that is that there's probably going to be, over time, a wider acceptance and tolerance because of the push that's going. And I'm not going to deny there's a gay agenda. It's pretty clear to me.
But hold on for a minute. But isn't it already in a widespread acceptance already? I mean,
not among everybody. There's a lot of people that feel strongly about homosexuality. In the same respect, let me finish, that I acknowledge and accept people's right to be themselves and love who they want because it doesn't bother me. It doesn't affect me that much. But in the same respect, if I were to have a son and he were to come out as gay, I don't think it would make me too happy. I would probably learn to accept it. I know if I see two men, tongue-kissing somewhere, I wouldn't sit there and stare and be like, wow, that's great. I would probably turn my head. I don't have male friends that are gay. It's not like I'm waving some rainbow flag, but in the same respect, I let people do their thing, and as long as your thing doesn't interfere with my thing, then I'm cool with it. I'm not looking for reasons to be bothered and upset about shit that doesn't, excuse my language, but about things that don't affect my life. And at the end of the, because it doesn't affect my life. What other
how?
People are
if they well, pass the laws and deals, how does that not affect your life?
Well, what this law, what it's really what it is an executive order, and what it basically says, and I just read on it while you guys were talking, is that federal contractors, people that get government contracts, that they're not allowed to discriminate on people based on, and I'll read you the exact language. That they're not allowed to discriminate against people on the basis of their sexual orientation or gender identity.
I mean, that's bull.
Whether you approve of someone's sexual behavior. Let me finish. I'm not going to try and dominate the conversation. I don't feel as strongly about this as you do. I'm just speaking. Whether you approve or not of someone's sexual choices, I think it's pretty ridiculous to earn them a right to earn a living.
Okay, hold on. Wait a minute.
That's all this law says.
But here's the point. Here's the point I'm trying to make. Don't we already have laws on the book that say that?
Yes.
I think the rule is, that you're not allowed to discriminate regardless of race, color, creed, age, disability, or veteran status. I guess they're expanding the language.
You mean to tell me lesbian and gays, all right, do not fall in any of those categories?
Let me repeat the language to you.
I heard the language.
No. Let's examine it and see if it fits. Oh. If gays and lesbians are included.
Okay.
The law states, the employment law states, and the housing law states that you're, and I happen to know about this stuff a bit because I worked in similar in a field that talked about this, that you're not allowed to discriminate regardless of race, color, creed, age. Now, age discrimination is something real. That's a silent thing that doesn't get discussed. That you're not allowed to discriminate regardless of race, color, creed, age, disability, veteran status, or gender. So I think they're expanding the language on discrimination laws to include people's sexual identity or how they classify themselves as a gender.
I'm trying to look for this link I want to put in the chat because, you know, I'm really sick. I'm really, really, really sick of people saying how this doesn't affect me. That doesn't affect me. That's BS. It does.
What people are doing inside their homes doesn't affect me.
I listen to you. This has nothing to do with what they do inside their home, okay? I'm trying to find the link, and I'm going to put it in there as soon as I find it on my Facebook, but it was from Oakland Elementary School. It was from last week. I think it was from, like, June 5th or something. And
Oakland, California, Oakland, Michigan.
Oakland, California. And that's an elementary school. You know, from kindergarten up, they had equality. What did they call it? Equality assembly. And I was so pissed off. I was so disgusted. They had all the kids in there in elementary school again, and they had the whole assembly was about acceptance of homosexuality or of different people having different parents and all this stuff. So they get up there and this woman who clearly looks like a lesbian or whatever, and she gets up there and she's like, oh, you're talking about the rainbow flag. Do you guys see this beautiful flag? And blah, 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 blah. And then she goes into saying, well, you know, everybody's family is different and we want you guys all to know, you know, everyone's equal and all this kind of thing. So they had the gay men's choir, so San Francisco or whatever, come up there and sing for the kids. And then they showed these two videos. Oh, and they had this quote on the bookmark. And the bookmark said this quote, and it was by Audre Lorde, who was a lesbian activist or whatever. Now, Audre Lorde was some erotica writer. Okay, she wrote a lot of erotica, but yet they gonna sit up and post a damn quote from this woman about, you know, accepting who you are and all this BS with the rainbow flag on it and give it to these kids. So then they played two videos, and in the videos they were saying, one was from Rosie O'Donnell, family thing or whatever, and one was from something else that won all these awards. They just showed a couple minutes of these. But in the clips they were saying, they had kids on there saying, some people have two mommies, some people have two daddies, some people have just one dad and all this kind of stuff. And then the kids were saying, my mom is, the one girl said, my mom is German or something. My dad is Japanese and blah, 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 blah. And they were saying all of this stuff. And so what they did right there was they equated somebody's racial group and equated somebody's ethnicity to somebody who's gay. That disgusts me. It disgusts me. And they are lying to children because nobody on this earth has two mothers or two fathers. Everybody came from a mother and a father. I don't give a damn if you adopted. I don't care if your parents divorced, if you never met your mother or father. Doesn't matter. You came from a mother and a father. And to sit up and tell these kids that, and you're brainwashing them, you're indoctrinating them early to equate somebody's sexual choice to somebody's ethnicity as being the same damn thing. And the lady was up there, and she was like, well, yeah, this, and people who are homosexual and bisexual, there's not a damn reason on this earth that a five-year-old child in kindergarten should be hearing any damn thing the word about bisexual. Are you kidding me?
That is young for them to be able to process that and understand it.
Yeah.
That is young for them to be able to process that. I don't know exactly what that has to do with the executive order that the president signed.
Hold on. I am saying.
You got to let me finish the sentence, Renee.
You did. You talked for a long time, Beasley. You said everything you wanted to say. Go ahead.
How do you know what I wanted to say?
Go ahead.
All right, both of y'all get one more response, then I got to bring someone else in. So go ahead, Beasley.
Live and let live.
Okay. That's it.
Short and sweet. All I don't right. have to filibuster. That's the way I'm going to live my life.
All right. And Miss Renee?
I just wanted to say I was speaking about how these things do affect everyone because the parents did not know that assembly would happen and it was a mandatory assembly. So your children were already introduced to these things without you having any knowledge or okaying. And about the executive order, that's another way to show you that it does affect everyone. Because if you are a contractor, and let's say for whatever reason, this person doesn't like you or they feel you did this or that, they can very easily go say that you discriminated against them. See, we have to stop this thought process. And this is another thing that pisses me off, as if homosexual people are so noble. Like these people are so noble and great and strong and they don't do a damn thing wrong. They
so,
just like anybody
on.
Else. So we're supposed to be in their favor. Wait a minute. We're supposed to be in their favor as if these are just such noble people. And if they come and say, oh, this person discriminated against me, that they can't be lying. Number one, you don't need to put your damn business out there like that. Number two, if you're a transsexual person, and this pisses me off too, if you are transsexual, it is not everyone else's responsibility to make you believe you are a man or woman. That's
okay.
Because you chose. And if I see your big ass in a dress and all of this stuff, I know you're a damn man. I'm not going to play your little game.
All right.
Go ahead.
You just said that you want to stop people.
Let me just address this one thing.
You come back to it, Beast.
All right, let me bring Pianki in. All right, Mr. Pianki, you on the air, sir.
Hey, what's going on? You know, only thing you have to do, the only thing that's required of you as a citizen of the United States when it comes down to LTGB community, people who's gay, transsexual, your only requirement is to respect their civil rights. And that's it. You don't have to accept them. You don't have to be friends. You can tell them that you do not care for them to be around you. And you don't have to be around them if you don't want. You know, as long as they...
No, that's not true.
I tell them that as long as you keep that to yourself, And I don't know nothing about you other than what you present yourself to be, then, you know, everything's fine. But when you present yourself to be something else, independent on the circumstance and the environment, I may choose to be someplace else. That's all.
But let me show you where that's flawed. Let me show you where that's flawed. Because you said the only thing you have to do is respect their civil rights. You don't have to like them and all that. Let me show you how that's flawed. If you're working with somebody and you may have told them, I don't want to be around you, like you just stated, that person can then go and put a complaint in on you. That person can then make up anything and put in a complaint on you because you don't quote-unquote like them because they're gay. Yeah, I don't understand
well,
how people are not
and you know
it.
What? Can't
you,
anyone
you don't
put
have
a
to qualify it.
Can't anyone put a complaint in on anyone about anything? You know,
no.
You don't, they don't. Yes, they can. It
no.
doesn't mean it's going to be sustained.
But what is the
it
outcome?
Doesn't mean it's going to be. It doesn't mean it's going to be sustained.
Right, but if it's a gay person, look, people can say any damn thing they want to about black people nowadays. You might get a tap on the wrist for it, if that. But you say any damn thing about a gay person. Now, mind you, this is their own sexual proclivity. This is what they do in their bedroom. This ain't a damn thing to do with the style. But let's
do say anything. Donald Sterling hasn't been able to say anything he wanted to about black people without consequence.
Well, first of all, Donald Sterling has a team that's black men.
That's not the point. I'm just addressing what you're saying. What you said is that people
still,
can say anything. What you said was that people can get away with saying anything against black people, and that's really
sure
not
can.
True. That's really
and
not
it
true.
Is.
Because
he
Donald
is,
Sterling, Donald Sterling,
oh.
Donald Sterling is being held to consequences
oh,
for
please.
His opinions about black people. That's the truth.
No, he's not. No, he's not. Because this man is 80-some years old. This man
okay.
don't give a damn.
I'm listening to what you say.
And if he talked about gay people, that man would have had his ass out there apologizing after one day. It wouldn't have went on as long as it did before he said anything or anything was out about it. It would have been handled differently. So
I bet he has some pretty interesting opinions about gay people too. You might find that you and Donald Sterling probably have a lot in common when it comes to gay people.
All right,
how
hold
would
on,
that make you feel?
Hold on.
You got another black girlfriend.
God dang it, I said hold on. Pinky, you're always the one who come in there and do something crazy like that. All right, you know what? And Renee has kind of a valid point, and I'm going to tell you why. This is what happened, and then we're going to move on from this because Hakeem got a couple of topics he want to talk about. But I remember when I was working at this certain call center, you know, and we had a boy who wanted to be a girl, okay, and just put it that way. And his name, his government-given name was Ralph. All right, but he walked around there and everybody called him Paris. Okay, so one evening I had to call roll up for some reason, see who was working. And I said, where is Ralph? Right? And nobody would answer. I said, who is Ralph? Nobody would answer. And then one of the other females in there said, that's Paris over there. I looked down, I went and tapped on, I say, Ralph? My name is Paris. I said, look, it's like this. Your mama named you Ralph, I'm calling you Ralph. I don't do this Paris stuff. But you know, did you know the next morning I got called into the floor manager's office to say I couldn't do that? And I was like, why? That was his mama named him. You know, so you know, Renee has a kind of a point there. You know,
What was his name on his check stubs?
Ralph?
On his checks.
Ralph?
Ralph right. on his checks?
Yes, it was Ralph. It wasn't Paris.
Well, how did you come up with the name? Then you was in your rights to do that.
What?
But yeah. If he can be in his rights all he wants to, that don't mean that you're not going to get in trouble for it.
If he was working for me, I'd call him Ralph.
Well, no, everybody else called him.
And then he can put a discrimination suit on you.
How are you going to put a discrimination suit on me? That's
because
you don't, we don't
say,
go by pseudos, we go by his name.
Because
well,
he
out his
a,
W.
Well,
Renee, look,
what's that called? Name discrimination?
He can tell me to say, I'm a transgender woman.
Name
he's not respecting, wait a minute, he's not respecting who I am, who I'm changing into, or whatever I am.
You don't have to respect
it.
If he filled out his W-2 form and he put down Ralph, that's his name.
But if you are the boss, though, they're going to hold you to a certain standard.
They're not going to hold me. If the man fill out his W-2 form, and he puts down that his name is Ralph,
okay,
the Social Security number. I'm going to ask to see his Social Security. If his Social Security card says Ralph, he's going to get called Ralph.
Well, PNK, I understand what you're saying, but I'm just
telling
you.
If it's in the call center, I might have called him Tyler Perry or RuPaul.
Oh, well, anyway.
Let the cards fall where they may. But then again, I sell enough where the boss would look past it.
Yeah. That's what you think. Anyway, so
I know.
I just wanted to put that out there, and I think, you know, I don't know why they need any extra laws. We got enough to cover them, and I just think it's just another way to force feed us into accepting something that, you know, shouldn't be accepted. All right, so, Hakeem, where you at, man? I know you got a couple of things you like to throw out there as well. Hakeem, are you there?
I'm sorry. I was on mute. I'm sorry.
Put him asleep.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that. On a lighter note, because there's been some heavy stuff discussed just a moment ago. I wanted to throw an idea, something that crossed my mind, and I wondered if anyone else had thought about it. But some of the things that remind you of your upbringing. In your childhood, you know, for someone such as myself, you know, I think about things like Thriller, you know, the Michael Jackson record. I think about the emergence of hip hop. I think about New Jack City and Poetic Justice in particular. I also think about a different world and the Cosby Show, which apparently, according to a study, impacted the college enrollment and growth for a variety of different students in America at that time. There was a tremendous boost, and I think that says a lot about that particular era. I also think about the Jordans, you know, Jordan gym shoes. Who can forget about how popular the Jordans have been and are? I even think about the clothing line. I don't know if anybody remember, but Karl Kanai and how popular that was during that time. Penny candy, house stores, lunchroom, school cookies, those interest in say no to drugs, PSAs, recess and field trips, Reaganomics, the launching of one of the first IBM personal computers. That was interesting in the course of fist fights and play ball.
How old are you, King? About 32,
33? Yeah.
Okay. And what was your question again?
Someone was saying something?
No, I just said I remember all of that. Penny candy for, you know, school. And I wanted to go to college because of a different world.
See, that's what I'm talking about. The things that, you know, remind you of your childhood and your upbringing, different things, songs, movies, you know, different things that stand out in your mind that kind of remind you and help you kind of reminisce, like, wow, I remember where I was when this song was playing, or,
you know what?
Those types of things.
You know what does it for me? You just said it, music. A song can come on, and it happens. And it doesn't matter if it was 20 years ago, I was still an adult. But it was still a long time. It was still a while ago. A song comes on and it brings me right back to that place. I can remember. It's crystal clear everything that was happening with me in my life at that point. I can remember everything, and it crystallizes. And the music has the ability to do that with me more than anything else.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do. I can remember 5 minutes of funk by Houdini. Oh, yeah.
1985.
I remember that. No, yeah, well, that was about around that time, a little earlier. But
exactly, 1985, yeah. Or maybe 1984.
It's a lot, man. That, you know, you can just see walking down the street. I know a lot of things. What I look at is kids today. You know, I look at the kids, and when I see a mother snatch a child up, like in this grocery store, I'm loving that, man, because that takes me back to just some of the things between my brothers and sisters and my mom, you know, and I just have to laugh. So, you know, it's always good. It's always good. You know, sometimes it's not that good to reminisce because some things you just want to forget. But, you know, I think we all have those points in our life to where there's always something that's going to jar our memory, whether it's a good one or a distasteful one. You know, there's always there. But hopefully, you know, looking back, you can say, well, I learned from this, or, you know, those were good times, you know, and just have fun with it, man. I mean, you know, don't let it depress you. Just look at what you have now compared to what you was going through then. And, man, most of the time that'll put a smile on your face, and that's all you need to keep riding, just that little smile, you know. That's
right.
My opinion, of course.
You know, there's very few records or songs that can play, and it makes me feel like that was a horrible period in my life. And, you know, we all have some ups and downs, but I like to look on the bright side, but can't think of too many songs that can play. Well, maybe a couple that make me feel bad. They all seem to make me feel good, but that's me.
Yeah. You know, and you have those certain songs that play and you haven't heard in a long time, and they take you back to places like your first love or your first little girlfriend, you know, and that was your song, you know, just things like that, man. You know, like I said, it just makes you smile and laugh sometimes. You're like, wow, I remember when I was doing da-da-da-da-da-da. I was like, whoo, that was a good one. Yeah, but, you know, I guess, you know what, the mind is a very complicated but wonderful thing, you know, because it's so much that you can remember that you don't even know you remember, you know. I remember something when I was 3 years old, and I had to ask my great-great-grandmother about it, and once I told her, she said, you remember that? I said, and she just looked at me, but I didn't know. I thought it was just a dream or something, but it was just something I remembered from that young. So when a lot of people say, well, you know, kids don't remember things, kids remember a whole lot, you know. So you just, that's why, you know, you just have to be careful what you do around them, because they are like, at a young age, man, they like glue, you know, they're a sponge, right? I should say they like sponge. They take in everything. You may not think they are, but they taking in everything you do, and it will present itself later on in life somewhere. So that's why you really have to be careful of what you do around your child. You know, I remember, man, getting sugar cubes and ice and honey drippers and all that kind of stuff right there on the same block. Man, I'm telling you. But that was in Florida. I don't know what y'all did around the other places, but that's what I did in Florida. All right, I'm shutting up now because everybody got quiet on me. Go ahead.
No, I think that was really cool. That was really timely. You know, I particularly think about a lot of Michael Jackson records personally, because growing up, Michael Jackson was huge, you know, for me. And I mean, I remember having the Thriller jacket. You know, the gloves, the flooded pants.
I never dressed like that. He wasn't the dude to copy. But you want to know what's interesting?
Yeah, what's that?
Yeah, I don't follow. No, what's really interesting is that Michael Jackson's popularity exists before you were born.
True.
Michael Jackson was hot when I was in the first grade. That's when he hit the scene. And they took everything by storm. Mr. Talk knows.
Are you talking about the Jackson 5?
Yeah, that's still Michael Jackson.
I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing about that now.
Yeah, you do. yeah, you do. Unless your head was in the sand. Unless your head was in the sand, because Michael Jackson was hot then. Mm. More than hot.
More than hot, huh?
Well, more than hot.
Thriller was probably the last real Michael Jackson.
Before he turned colors.
Oh yeah, that's he.
Because you had the Jackson 5, and then the Osmond Brothers came out, and then you had the Parks family, and who else you had out there? The Monkees, you know.
They used to play the Osmonds on the black radio station.
Yeah,
Osmonds couldn't keep up with the Jackson
5. And it gets no whiter than that. I mean, they're Mormons, but what was the song they had?
Okay, I'm gonna let
one
you find.
One bad apple don't spoil the whole bunch, girl. That was a hit.
Yeah,
You couldn't tell me they weren't black.
Yeah, and you know what? They all had their Saturday morning cartoons too. You get up and watch the cartoons with Speed Buggy and the crew and
Fat Albert.
But yeah, Fat Albert. That's what I was thinking about just then.
Yeah, you know, Scabby, Scooby Doo. Where are you?
I didn't look at Fat Albert.
I know they were.
You know what?
I watch Bull Moose.
Yeah, Natasha and the crew. Yeah, I know. Go ahead.
Now I was gonna say, what I didn't realize is that there was such a debate about the comparison between the Cosby Family and Good Time that there were some people, which you know I didn't, it didn't feel that way in my household, but for some people, you know. They said that they could relate more to Good Times than the Cosby Show, but the Cosby Show was more relatable for
it all depends if you grew up poor or not.
Yeah, well, see, you know, when you talk about Good Times, you know, the back, you know, when projects, that's what they used to call them back then, projects and stuff were popular, and that's the way a lot of people related to living, right? That's what it was. Now, as time so-called progressed, when you get to the Cosbys, you know, a lot of middle-class blacks had moved up into that type of situation. So a lot of other individuals identified with that because they had never had to go with their lights being out, you know, the water being cut off, you trying to run the electricity man down to get your light turned back on, you know, or you having just to take the thing off yourself and hooking it back up and putting it on or turning the water on when you're using it, turning it back off. See, a lot of people don't know anything about that. See what I'm saying?
Bill Cosby was cognizant of those images that were getting put out there way back then. But when you mentioned Good Times, it makes me think of All in the Family. And look at George Jefferson. George Jefferson came out of who was really like the black Archie Bunker. He was an offshoot of the All in the Family show. And when they got their own show, their whole story was, what was it? Moving on up. To the east side.
Yep.
To a deluxe apartment in the sky. But if you think about it, it was about black empowerment. It was about moving up the socioeconomic ladder, and not being
poor. Food don't burn in the kitchen. Food don't burn on the grill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
took a whole lot of striving just to get up that hill. So no, and I didn't. And you know, you don't realize. At least I didn't realize all that. The images that were getting put out, but that, I guess it, you know, that was art imitating life. What was going on for a lot of folks?
Right.
I would hate to see. Well, look at the situation. I don't even know what situation. Now we got reality shows.
Well, they also had to go up against black exploitation, quote unquote, films.
Right.
Superfly.
Right.
The Mac.
Dynamite.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of young men got their perspective of what a man was supposed to be, you know, for the ones that didn't have one in the house.
Exactly.
You know, by looking
that's true.
Yeah, by looking at Superfly and the Mac, because the Mac was the boy now, Shaft, you know. Isaac Hayes.
Well, those were images that won.
Yeah,
but there were a lot of other black exploitation films too, and that was a big genre, and that influences people to behave just like Scarface did, you know. It came out of a time where you know it influences people.
Cleopatra Jones.
Yeah, well, Foxy Brown.
But you know what? People did live like heck. I had an LD back in them days. It was tricked up.
I bet
imagine
you.
Imagine that. Imagine that.
But see, but here's the point, though.
Diamond in the back.
Hmm? Yeah, diamond in the back, Continental top.
Okay. Well, go ahead. What did you want to say?
The coats and all that stuff, the shoes.
Yep.
But that was more to life than Bill Cosby. Well, I guess, I can't say that. People had a difficult time relating to Bill Cosby lifestyle.
Some folks did, some folks didn't.
So that's what I was going to say. Some people did, some people didn't. I, for some reason, you know, it wasn't like a knock against, you know, either version. I just felt like, for me, you know, I just enjoyed Cosby. Not that everything in the Cosby show was connected to my personal household, but there were some components that you liked and you would like to see in your own household from it. So for me, it was not only something that I could relate to, but it was also some components that were you know, encouraging and you know, inspire you. Because think about some people who grew up in a single family household. You know, you might have thought about, man, I would like a father like Bill Cosby, for example.
You know, just the setup of having two highly educated. What he was a doctor and she was a lawyer.
Exactly.
And you know, that's not most families in general.
It is,
regardless of ethnicity. But there are plenty of black folks, at least that I know, that I came up around, that had you know, highly educated professional parents.
Yeah. Well, I
and
you
then
know.
There were and then were the and then were well, you know, when people generalize black folks, you know, or any group, you know, it gives me difficulties because there's so much differences in between all the different groups, and a lot of it has to do with your socioeconomic standing. Pianki would agree with that.
Yeah, exactly. And I you know, a different world. I feel like, not just because of the research, but just from some of the things I saw during that time, is that a lot of people were encouraged to attend college. You know, the experience of college was brought to your household when you watched Different World. If you ever wanted to know what is it like to stay on campus, or what is it like to go to a HBCU, you know, it encouraged you.
Right.
Yeah, it educated you on that whole experience. So, you know, for people who may have originally said, you know, I don't want to go to college, and then they saw some of the benefits and the fun that you could have, and the social benefits for social development that you could get at college. I think a lot of kids, obviously based on the stats, decided, hey, I want to try this. I want to try this thing called college based on what I see.
That was a big mistake. But you know, black children used to go to the service because you would go there, you would get a good education, basically, especially in the Navy, and I guess the Air Force. Well, if you look at the Navy, you have a very high representation of African Americans in the Navy. At commanders and so on and so on and so on, even today. And that comes from, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, many African Americans were flocking to the service because of the training and the best training that you could get at that time.
You don't say.
No comment.
Oh, I knew you weren't going to say anything. You know,
yeah.
I, But yeah, you're right, Pianca, and it's still the same today. So you want to get a trade without having to go to school? Hey, join the military. They'll teach it. Yeah, I mean, really, be honest with you, they will. Especially if you want to be an engineer or something, go and join the engineers. You'll be building stuff and learning stuff at the same time. Oh, well, you know, that's it. All right, what's next, Hakeem?
Oh, next topic was experience. What is an experience what you like? And what I mean by that is, you know, when you look at brands and different types of products out there in the world, whenever you have an experience or a relationship with something, you know, there's an experience, whether it's your food, a store that you go to, a movie that you watch, anything you deal with, there's some type of experience. And my question, because I was reflecting on it for myself, is what is an experience like with me like? You know, what type of experience does a person walk away with when they encounter you, whether it's at work, in school, social settings, wherever that environment is? In your opinion, what do you believe, or what have you been told that an experience with you is like?
Well, with me, they walk away confused.
You got to elaborate on that one. I got
they walk away because I'm not talkative. I don't smile a lot, but I listen to what you have to say, and I may give you one or two responses, but that's it. So when the conversation's over, I'm gone. So you left basically with like, okay, did he what? You know, he just confused. You know,
well,
that's what I figure.
With me, a lot of times they walk away angry.
Imagine that.
But that's their problem.
Why do you say that, Beasley?
I mean, there could be a number of reasons. You know, when you can effectively communicate and dismantle people's arguments, or point out their hypocrisies, or hold on to the truth, or your version of the truth, and people are trying to sway you to think a certain way, people aren't really happy with that. You gotta admit that most people don't go against the grain, and they're willing to, and they are followers. Not all, but most people.
Yeah, that's true.
Someone like me, I'm not afraid to go against the grain and stand on my own, no matter what it is, if it's what I believe. Most people aren't like that. Would you agree?
A lot of people can't say what they want to say. They fear they're going to lose their job.
Right.
I ain't never had that problem.
Most of the time, I didn't care that much, even if we're at a job. And it works out for the best. It's true freedom. It's true freedom, and it...
Yeah, but see, Beasley, you weren't married. You didn't have no wife, kid, and house note and stuff like that to take care of.
But that doesn't mean I didn't have responsibilities. I've had two mortgages at once, and I've had a lifestyle to upkeep, and I wouldn't want to jeopardize that. What that comes down to is having some true skills and confidence in yourself, and realize that at this job, and I worked in sales all my life. So what it comes down to is that I'm not going to let these people run some BS on me or try to get me to agree to some BS when it wasn't how I felt. And at the end of the day, I know that I have the talent and the skills to pick myself up from whatever the situation is. Now, there's been times where I've bitten my tongue, because it's a smart thing to do, until my mission was finished there. But I hear what you're saying.
But you know,
and
nowadays,
and there have also been periods where I've had to bite the bullet, money wise. That would have been real uncomfortable if I had people, if I had other people that I was really responsible for, as in a wife and kids. So I guess that makes you, that's a compromise that you have to make. You might bite your tongue
nowadays,
a whole lot more. So I hear what you're saying.
Nowadays you can't let your children be on Facebook and Twitter.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, because they, you know, in future 10 years, 15 years from now, a future prospect may go back and check that out and see what what was going on. Maybe the only strike that they can come up with to get rid of you. And what was those other accounts, social media, that they had before? The MySpace and stuff like that, where they used to have all the pornography and all this stuff on it?
I wouldn't allow my kids to be on that if my kids existed. I wouldn't allow them to be all that because that's just, there's too much foul, ratchet type stuff, and there's people on there that will lure them and take advantage of them. No, I get what you're saying. That's too dangerous. You're out there with adults and everybody. You're out there in the whole world. So that's something to be concerned about.
Good point. Hold on, let me bring Mays in. To finish the quadruple. Hello, Miss Mays. How are you doing today?
Hello. Y'all conversation y'all was having today is very interesting. And to go with the Cosby Show didn't teach me nothing. And a different world didn't either.
Okay.
Because it wasn't nothing new to me.
Okay.
That's why it didn't. And then to come like if somebody met me and they wonder what kind of person, I'm not a follower. And I don't really try to lead people. I'm a type person. If you tell me something, I got to figure out if you're telling the truth or do you know what you're talking about. I live with reality. And I don't get upset with people because their views are different than mine. But
so
I will deal with
you. You're the one that got out on your own in a horror movie and get eaten up by the monster because you ain't
no,
believing
I wouldn't. I wouldn't go because everybody told you to go to the monster and look, I'll go the opposite way because I know it's a monster there. That's just me.
You know, she said something that resonates with me, particularly on this platform, because there's many people that because of someone's opinion or some things that they say that they'll decide they just don't like this person forever. Instead of taking into account that this person is different than me, has a different experience, different parents, grew up in a different place, that their world is totally different than mine, and it's natural for their opinions and thoughts to be different than mine. So I hear what she's saying there. I like to think I'm the same way for the most part.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Well, you're the same way. You entertain a wide range of thoughts and viewpoints.
Well, that I do.
Right.
That
so I you're the same.
Yeah.
I think people don't realize. Maze, you said what about a different world in Cosby Show? You said it didn't mean anything.
No.
Well,
why do you say that?
Because I lived around things like that, so it wasn't no. I mean, I don't take TV for reality. And my children didn't take TV for reality.
I think it's also because
they could see people that looked like people that was on the Cosby Show, and they could see people that looked like people on a different world.
I mean,
before a different world came in, people were going to college to make a better life for themselves.
But
and some were going, and you also, y'all were going because, for what reason? Because you saw the show and it made you want it to go to college.
Right.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying, but I think that people a lot of times they underestimate what an effect television and advertisement and all that stuff has on people.
But that's what I'm saying.
Oh.
Well, you
go
know,
ahead.
it was a great difference when you started, well, the first time you seen black people on the Ed Sullivan Show, for instance, coming out of Amos and Andy back in them days, where you was the buffoonish, and I don't have anything wrong with Amos and Andy, but it just showed a light that African-Americans really didn't want to galvanize to. But when they had blacks showing on the Ed Sullivan Show, that was a big thing back then. And I can't think of the first black that showed on, that was Ed Sullivan had as a guest on his show. Maybe Beasley might remember. I want to say it was before the Temptations, but I just can't think, you know, who it was. But to be on the Ed
Cole.
But it was like Julia. Nobody watched
her. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Nat King Cole.
Nat King Cole.
Because she was a nurse in a doctor's office.
Mm-hmm. And the best actor then was Sidney Poitier.
Yep, Sidney Poitier.
Is Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? That's the one you're talking about?
Yes, yeah, Guess Who's Coming
those
to Dinner.
Things, those things mean something.
To Sir With Love.
Well, they didn't mean nothing to me because, like, when it came to Santa Claus didn't mean nothing to me because I'd never seen a white Santa Claus. I always saw a black one every Christmas morning when I was growing
Santa
up.
Claus.
And when it came to my kids, I told them there was no Santa Claus, and they didn't have to realize nobody
Santa
being
Claus.
Santa Claus but me.
How we got on Santa Claus?
No, that's what I'm saying. The thing
I
that
don't
we
know.
Saw,
I have no idea.
No clue.
But
that's
how we got on.
She's talking about what her experience
realize.
Is.
Thank you.
We don't realize the
so
effect that those things
it.
Have. And that's why right now we don't have anything like that showing black kids or black young people going to college and having, you know, learning but having a good time but,
you know,
gaining some cultural, enrichment and all these
images,
kinds of people are seeing the image, or wait a minute, seeing the image of the Cosby Show, where you had the mom and dad there, you had them work, you had them successful. And Bill Cosby said that, you know, a lot of people shot that down and were critics of it because they were like, oh, that's impossible to have, you know, this black husband who's a doctor and then the wife is a lawyer. But why is that impossible, number one? And number two, even if it's not very common, what is wrong with showcasing that? What's wrong with showing it?
Nothing wrong at all.
No.
And not only is it possible, it's reality. And as far as images, maybe there are a lot of, you know, misleading bad images out there. It represents a portion of society. But I think about reality instead of images. And I know let me finish. Reality in my family and among some of my friends, I have a friend that I grew up with whose daughter goes to Harvard. She got into Harvard. My goddaughter, as I've told you, who I'm immensely proud of, who's also my cousin, just graduated law school. My niece is going into law school and just graduated from a Tier 1 university last year. I can give a crap about images as long as the people that I care about and love, the younger people that I care about and love, are on the right path, doing the right thing, and even surpassing the parents and the uncles and the aunts as far as scholastically. So images are one thing, and what's happening as far as what's real in your life, the people that you care and love about that are in your circle, in your world, I think that's far more important than images, and I think it's also a credit to them because they're able to move past. And either one of those girls, let me tell you something about either one of those girls, they don't know nothing about pop culture because they were spending their time studying. They don't know about none of these reality shows. They don't know about any of this stuff. They have to ask me about this stuff.
Well, that's them. That's not
my reality. That's the reality that I deal with. And when you can make your reality real, listen to what I'm trying to tell you, young lady. And I say this respectfully, though. When you can make your reality and the reality around you something good and positive and substantial, the images really mean a heck of a whole lot less.
But I'm not necessarily talking about me. I'm not talking about me. I'm speaking in general terms. And that's why we don't have – people say, you know, you can say, oh, these images don't have an effect. Again, not to be – you know, trying to point anything out, but you guys are older. The younger generation, wait a minute, the younger generation are into these reality shows. They're into all of this stuff, and the images make a difference. They have think tanks. They have these groups that get together to find out how they can get across a message to people that they will absorb it. It's in the back of your mind, and you don't even know it. And they have ways that they come up, wait a minute, they have ways that they come up and do this to have an effect on people.
They always have. Are you familiar with this?
Wait a minute.
They always have.
No, not to this extent. No, not to this extent, because we are much more relying on technology now than it was when you guys were younger. It's not the same thing. So
now
these kids are being flooded with images and shows and all of this stuff, and that's what's having an effect on them doing all this crazy stuff because they see other people do it. So when we don't have shows like A Different World and the Cosby Show, we don't have anything showing a strong black family, a father there, and all this kind of stuff. When you don't have that, what you see on television then begins to reflect on what you see around you, and that's what's happening right now.
Now, can I
Renee,
speak?
Did you hear anything that I just told you?
No. Can I speak briefly? Renee, you always saying we're old. I'm not talking about old people. I'm talking about people your age. I'm
going to
tell you. No. You said old people. I'm talking about people your age. You got some that's lawyers. You got some that's doctors, some that's nurses. They got a network where they communicate with each other. They go from different cities, and they do things together. They do politics, and they do a whole lot of different things outside the world that we're looking at. Certain people see things different ways, and they got a connection with each other.
I know quite a few of them, but that's not their life. I know quite a few of them, and I know a lot of them from online.
And there are young people just like you.
There are young folks out there, young black folks under 30, doing their thing and achieving more scholastically. Okay, I don't know how they're going to adjust in life, but achieving more as far on an educational platform, more than their parents. And that has to be a credit to their parents, too. And my goddaughter that grew up, father was never there.
Yeah, and the songs back then always talked about love.
Right.
But
it's
a different time.
You're talking about
time.
When we're young.
I'm talking about...
Right. Well, you know what?
You have the same elements, though, you know, because...
You know what you're saying is true, Renee, but don't think that it can't be overcome.
Oh yeah,
because you know what? I said what I said. When your reality of the young people that you care about and you're around, and there's some real live screw ups in this group too that I think about of friends and family and their kids. There's some real life screw ups.
And you know another thing: all young blacks don't listen
to
hip hop music neither.
But now, with the hip hop music had nothing to do with it. You see, Renee, these guys are going to college together, and they're young. They're maybe about 30 now.
Or should I say,
but
rap music?
They were going to school together, and one of them didn't have the funds to finish. You know what? They all got to in a group together and paid his tuition out so he could finish.
That's great. That's great.
And
I'm not taking anything away from those people. I'm saying the world is a girl out there with people doing different things.
They didn't grow up. I mean,
I'm not ignoring
the predominant amount of young people.
But Renee, what you don't realize is this.
That's why I encourage people, young people, turn off the damn TV. Stop watching that Basketball Wives and the Housewives and the Love and Hip Hop. Stop watching that stuff. Because then you have these young girls, they watch that, and they idolize the girls from Love and Hip Hop.
Right.
They want to dress like them, look like them, act like them, talk like
just
them.
This is a big thing that's going on.
And it's ridiculous.
Well, that's the whole plan. That's why I come. You know, during the times of Julia and Bill Cosby and that other movie, All in the Family, you had the black exploitation films that was happening too. Your Superflies, your Max, you had that parallel the time that things that was going on that was supposed to inspire good showcase in black families. So that's the same thing you got today. You got degenerative rap, and you don't have the other kind of music out there, but rap.
There is positive, good, thoughtful rap. It's just not being commercially played.
It's just not commercial.
It's on the underground. But you know, I think it's you can speak about the pathologies and the negative stuff all the time. But if you do that, and I think what Pianki's saying, that there's a yin and a yang. if you ignore the positive things that are going on, it'll put you in a real funk. It'll put you in a real funk.
I don't ignore the positive things.
No, what
did you know? Did you know that this year, Harvard University accepted more blacks than ever before? That a full 12 or I think 13% of their incoming class is black.
Okay.
But the problem
That's great.
When you're constantly thinking about the people in jail.
I think about the reality. I'm a realist. I'm sorry.
That's the reality.
I'm not just going to sit there I look at the positive things all the time. Absolutely.
But I don't hear you speak about the positive things, and I've listened to you talk a lot.
I'm a realist. The least of us, okay, I'm concerned, too, about the least of us and what's going on with that. To me, I mean, I'm a young woman who I still has myself together and has my mind on the right track. But I am surrounded by, not surrounded by as in I'm choosing to be around these people, but just in the environment and just in life, I'm seeing that's not the reality of a lot of young black people.
But you against school choice, too.
No, I'm not against school choice.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
But Renee, there's a lot of young people out there.
That.
So I'm saying there's a lot of young people out there doing things. You just have to you have to move around with them. But if you're standing in
there's a lot of them out there doing things.
This one guy my daughter was telling me, her friend, he quit his job and left home. He lived in his car for a month. He didn't tell his parents because he didn't want their money until he got the money to get him an apartment and get settled for what he wanted to do. Because he knew they wouldn't be happy. But now that he's done those things and lived in his car for a month, took a shower in his friend's apartment, now he's back on his feet to doing what he wanted to do. He never told them this happened.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not only talking about
he developed some backbone and some resiliency and being able to, and that's what it's all about. You know, people being able to raise your kids and your parents were able to raise you so that you can take care of yourself. What did your folks tell you? I know what my folks told mine. You know, I can do this for you now, but you're going to really need to learn how to do this for yourself. I'm going to help to prepare for you because I'm not going to be here forever for you.
So that's
and
what
you're
going
to have to.
You're
going to have to take your own, and that's what he learned how to do.
Yes,
and that experience. Go ahead.
It's not about the experience of the kids that came up with something as a kid. All of the kids didn't come up with a silver spoon. Some of them had hard times, but they're doing good and they're communicating with each other. And it's like I say, they do things, they go on trips together, they meet in each one of them cities together. They just I was amazed when I saw the network that they have other things.
But, you know, Maze, here's the thing, and not to cut you off real fast, the thing that disturbs you, disturbs Beasley, so disturbs me, is that we only make up 13% of this population. But when it comes down to negativity, we over-pondering that particular statistic.
Because
you know,
we carry it.
I want to see. I would like to see the median black household around $85,000. Then, you know, a lot of these other things frown upon would disappear.
You say, come on now. Like that's not possible.
Oh, hey, yeah, it's possible.
It's still,
I mean, that's
no,
not,
not
even that. That's not
no,
well in
not.
California
no,
terms.
Not.
That's really not that much money.
No,
it's not. You're right.
Yeah.
It's not that
economy,
much money.
Wait. In this economy,
it
how
it
is
on
right
what
now,
you live in.
Wait a minute. In the level that our community is in right now, that's not going to happen. We got a hell of a lot of other things.
Why come it can't happen? It can happen.
Because
South Koreans, it can happen too. You stop saying that. South Koreans had an income of about $300. Renee, if you know, are you married?
No,
Pianki, hold on.
That's
Pianki.
Why.
Hold on, Pianki. You keep saying this can't happen. How is it going to happen then?
I didn't
Please.
Say it can't happen. I said it can happen.
It's already happening, and it's already happened.
Where?
You know,
where?
Oh, good God. I wish I could take you guys for a ride with me.
No,
I'm going to tell you where. Los Angeles, California.
Okay.
Los Angeles,
that
California.
That doesn't shock me. Because that's where a lot of people that live there anyway are going to have money.
It's happening in Atlanta, it's happening in Northwest St. Louis County.
You can go
absolutely.
Yes, places all over this country you can find. I mean, and it's not hard to find because they're going to tell you where they are.
Queens,
really
New York.
Located.
Take a ride.
Queens, New York. The average black income is about $80,000+.
Take a ride through Windsor Hills, View Park, Ladera Heights.
And how spread out are all these people? Okay. It's all working together. How many black grocery stores are in those areas? Do they keep
them There used to be one, and now there's none.
I'm not talking about used to. I'm asking right now. You know, are they keeping the money in the community, or are they taking this money elsewhere? How you know, Mae?
Because I've been to some of them.
Even she been to some of them.
Well,
but
you know,
y'all can name all these streets, Beasley and Pianchi. Y'all can name all these places. But what about all the housing projects and everything else that's out here? How many of those
poor people
in those neighborhoods?
They're poor folks too.
You can drive less than a mile down the street from where these wealthy black people live, and I mean wealthy,
mm-hmm.
and well off black folks, and you can drive right down the street to the boys in the hood, the real live boys in the hood.
And another reason why it won't happen, and I will tell you why. Another
what do you
reason
mean it won't happen? It's already happened.
Okay, fine. But
can't, won't, don't. We're doom and gloom. That's sure not the way to think.
Look at the white community.
Go to a National Society
of
Black Engineers convention.
You see a lot of them are struggling. Wait a minute. You see a lot of them are struggling. They broke as heck, okay? A lot of them is looking for jobs. There's no...
Renee, let me ask you something. If you got enough black income, listen to what I'm saying. If you got enough black income, whereas the median of all blacks put together is $80,000, what did that tell you? If you take all the black income and divide it by the number of blacks in this country, and you come out with a number around $80,000+, what did that tell you? It tells you that there's a whole lot of them that's doing excellent.
Right. So what is
it
right now? What is the median income for
black?
Wait. What is the median income right now for a black family?
I don't know.
18.
Median, now say it.
It's probably low, but everyone's median income is dropping for the most part, most sectors.
I'm not saying, I understand what you're saying and about speaking things into existence and I said, I hear you, okay? And I know what you're saying, and I really, really, that would be beautiful. I'm for that 150%, I'm for that. I'm just saying that it's not impossible. No, it's not. It's absolutely not impossible because anything is possible, all right? But I'm just saying that.
You act like it's a magic trick. He didn't say anything.
Yeah, you do. Go to him. He didn't
say anything. Hold on a second. He didn't say anything about. He didn't say anything about. Hold on a second. Let me say this. He didn't say anything about speaking into existence. What he knows and everybody knows that there's a hell of a whole lot of hard work and sacrifice behind that achievement.
Yeah.
Okay, and you say that it's not likely, it's not impossible. You know something? Once you have a goal and a target, and you work constantly towards it, and you have your eye on it, and you stay focused, it's almost impossible for you not to hit it. It may not happen as soon as you like. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. If you have your eye on a goal and you work towards it every day and stay focused on it, it's almost impossible for you not to hit it. You will get there. But you have to work for it. It ain't about speaking into existence. I hear young folks say that, and I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? You can speak. I see people speak and talk about stuff and never take the action towards it.
No, what's the energy you put out as well?
Man, yeah, energy, which is hard work, discipline, and stick-to-itiveness, some perseverance. I know what it takes, because I've done it in my life. A number of
if you ever
times.
Want to see a lot of black young people doing these things, attend the National Society of Black Engineers National Conference. They had one in Nashville just this past April, I think, April.
Come to one of my family reunions.
All right, hold on. In 2012, let's see, the African-American household median income was $33,762 in comparison to $56,565 for non-Hispanic white households. So that's what
it depends on what.
Well, now look at this, though. Look at the household income of Nigerians, Jamaicans, Jamaican household in Jamaica, Queens. They're higher than whites and even higher than the Asians. So how do they do that? So those are people you need to be looking at, sitting down, talking to, and mimicking. Say, what are they doing that we should be doing?
Hmm.
I mean, to be honest, it's always going to be, like my grandma was telling me, it's always going to be some of them that they let through. And my feeling
it
is,
ain't, wait a minute, hold on. What is this stuff about some of them that they let
through? You make
who,
your
who
way
let,
through.
Who let who? What through?
You
sound like cattle.
Oh,
like
an
obstacle. Y'all really tripping.
Poor girl.
Okay. All right, hold on.
Y'all really tripping.
Hold on. All right, enough. Y'all making my ears hurt now. Let me bring Vernon in. Good Lord. Vernon, you there, cuz?
I'm here. How's everybody doing?
They doing all right.
Hi. Hello, Vernon.
Eric, could you repeat
hey,
your
how you doing, Vernon?
Statistics? I'm doing good, man. Eric, could you repeat those stats again?
Yeah, in 2012, the average black average mean household income was $33,000 compared to the Hispanics, who was $56,000.
Okay, now go back and look up how many of those black families, what the percentage was on single family, single parent households, single income households compared to Hispanics.
Okay, that's going to really drop then.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to drop.
But see, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But not what I'm talking about. It depends what area in 36. You couldn't even make it on that if you lived in certain places in this country.
It shows the problem within our community. You know, we don't want to live together. You know, we are bad about that. I mean, that's got a lot to do with income. You got one person in a household versus two. That's going to make a big difference in your income.
Exactly.
You say if you got three sons
that's
and they live
point.
In a different
it's not
state.
Even so much to the money
you got three
as
sons
much
they live
as who's in the home.
I'm saying you got
the mother and father there or just one parent.
I was going to stay on the sideline until he read those stats, and I just had to get in and add that little bit there.
All right.
He can mute me now.
Whatever. All right.
Can I ask a question?
Wait a minute. Hold on, Maze. When you see your cousin, tell him I say Happy Father's Day now. And it's in the Bible. Look, tell him, honor thy mother and thy father that the days may grow long. Now tell him what he's going to do. Now.
I'll land on it, man.
All right. All right, go ahead, Maze. Ask your question real fast. I got to get up out of here.
Okay, with those statistics, those haven't been for the southern states. Because anybody making that kind of money, amount of money, they
can't
live anywhere else.
Now we're talking about the southern states.
Huh?
The census is done nationwide, Maze. It's not just done in the southern states. It's not just done in the western states. It's not just done in the central.
That's why they said the median.
But what I'm saying, the median household is $36,000. That's 30. Not true.
Okay,
whatever it is. Say you got three sons and you're a single mother and they live in another state and each one making $100,000 a year and they send it back to your house.
Where is this family at? Never mind.
Okay,
that's why I say, watch who's counting and look what they're doing. They want you to believe it. I don't.
Okay, well.
Okay.
Come out of that fantasy.
I don't know, when I hear statistics, I think that's what we are. I think that's what you work. That's what you work. That's what you strive. That's what you think to avoid becoming a statistic. I mean, what do people refer to as, you know, a single mother with three kids from three different fathers? That's, you know, on food stamps and Section 8. That's a statistic. That's how some people refer to folks in different lower socioeconomic. It's about not becoming a statistic. And people, I hear people speak like it's inevitable to become a statistic when it's avoidable. When it's a
well, you know, when I quote statistics, I like to use statistics as if you was to go to the doctor. They take your blood pressure, your heart rate, your sugar count, and all these other things. Then they come back and tell you how you biologically are standing and what areas need immediate attention and what areas need to have attention at some time in the near future. And that's basically what statistics are. It tells you exactly how you are functioning in this society, like the ones Eric just got through quoting. And we have to make changes. We have to start steering our children into these high-paying, high professional occupations, and also into the business. I mean, we can have all the business we want to, but if you don't have no money to go spend in these businesses, then what good is it? So that has to change. It has to start with this crazy educational system that we got, that we keep herding our children into. It's insane to continue down that same path.
Well, you know what, Pianki? Thank you. You finally said something I agree with you on. So thank you very much. All right, man, we got to get up out of here. Let's see. We're going to let y'all get your last words in. So let's start with Beasley. I know he got something he want to add. Go ahead, Mr. Beasley. You up. Beasley, you there? Beasley going once. Beasley going twice. Beasley is out of here. All right, let's get Maze on the phone. Maze, where you at?
Yeah, when it comes to statistics and people counting, you got to look at, they count the same way they do everything else. And that's what I say. I don't follow. I learn and I dig and I investigate. Then I come back and give you some answers to why I say the things I do.
All right. Well, thank you. And we'll be waiting on that. All righty. Bye. All right. Let's see. Mr. Pianki, any more words of wisdom?
No, I said about all I wanted to say. I really appreciate the conversation, everybody that contributed. And it was a wholesome discussion today. Hope that the one tomorrow is likewise.
Oh, well, thank you, sir.
Joe wasn't around.
Huh?
I said Joe wasn't even around.
No, Joe's not around today. All right. He up in the mountains with his sheep. Getting them sheared. Okay, bye. All right, last but not least, Miss Renee, you up.
Great evening.
Ooh. All right, you get you some chicken noodle soup.
I know.
Yeah. That does not sound good. All right. Be good. All right, and that's going to do it. One more person, we got one more. Of course, we can't let my co-host get out here without getting his in. Mr. Co-host, what you got for me today?
Oh, man, yet another awesome time spent talking with everybody. I appreciated the ideas, the viewpoints, learned a lot. Thank you for everybody's contribution. I'm looking forward to doing that again tomorrow, and I wish everybody a joyous and wonderful rest of their evening, peaceful evening, and for those who are dealing with any form of sickness, a speedy recovery.
All righty. Well, thank you, sir. Thank you. All right, y'all, another good show here on Let's Talk, and I do appreciate everybody who participated, whether you were on the lines or in the chat room or just listening. I do appreciate you. You're very much appreciated, and continue to listen because we working on some new things and some good, better things. So, man, I can't wait to spring them on, y'all. But, yeah, we're going to be doing the dang old thing. All right, well, you know, after all that conversation, we ended up on the kids, right? Yeah, we ended up on the kids. Well, it's like this. You know, we can always look at the ones that's doing great things and say, oh, look at them. They're doing wonderful. They're handling their business. They're getting their education. They're striving to do whatever they want to. But what about the kids that's not doing so well? What about the ones that's living in the single parents' households that have no guidance, no direction? What about those kids? See, it's easy to throw a claim on the ones that's doing, you know, what they're supposed to do. But what about the ones that's out there by themselves, alone? Those are the ones we need to put our arms around and help them get find the right direction. Because it's going to take a whole, it's going to take all of us, not just some doing good and some others and just let them go by the wayside. That's not working. We already see that it's not working. So, hey, if you possible, get out there and grab one of them. You know, I have conference with two or three of them every morning almost. Every morning. So, yeah, you just got to get out there and keep going. Yeah, sometimes you're going to feel down and discouraged, but that's the best time to pick yourself up and handle your business. You know, go out there and help someone hit that milestone like you did. And you'd be surprised. The only thing they're looking for is someone to show some interest. You know, show some interest. You know, they probably have people saying, you're not going to do this. You're not able to do that the whole time. But what you do is you get there and give them just a little bit. A lot of times it's not much. Just a little bit of motivation. Just a little bit of push. And you'd be surprised at what happens. And that's all I got to say about it, you know. As far as Iraq and Iran, hey, we have to wait and see on that one. I think this is going to be a very interesting collaboration between Iran and the United States if it happens. But I'm sure there's going to be some backdoor politicking going on with that one. And as far as the president and his executive order, I don't know what that's about. I say we have enough discrimination laws to cover everybody. So, I mean, if he feels that it's a necessity to have another one just for the LBG community, I think something is very, very wrong. All right? Well, that's it for me, y'all. I'm going to have some fun tonight, and I hope you have some fun. Do what you got to do. I'm going to get up out of here. For my co-host, Hakeem, a.k.a. Cloud Nation Radio, it has been a good one. Hey, you can send me a message on my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. Send me an email, ericletstalk@gmail.com. And that's going to do it. So, or you can follow me on my page, you know, right here on BTR. Or send me a message in BTR. I get to it eventually, that's for sure. All right, so until 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time, this has been Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And you know what? We're getting out of here with some Earth, Wind, and Fire. Y'all have a good one, man. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Thank you.